So in the verse of today, Narada Muni explained after leaving home, he went through all those valleys, mountains, lands, mines, agricultural lands. And Srila Prabhupada explained that actually this was there all the time. And this will be there also all the time to come. Agriculture and industries, and this will always be there as necessity. That's what Srila Prabhupada also mentioned as economic development. But then he's saying that actually for Narada Muni, who was on the spiritual path, he just did not have any attraction to that, or did not actually pay any attention or any focus on that, because he knew all of that is also going to be destroyed. It's all on the material plane, and now I have enough of material plane. Now I want to go to my Lord. I want to go on the spiritual level. And this is actually a very important point in our spiritual life, that we come to do this understanding of I have enough. I have enough of life of pain, of life of frustration. I have enough of all of that. Now I want the real stuff. I want the real stuff, which is actually Krishna consciousness, which is this loving exchange between the living entity and Krishna. And that although Narada Muni was walking into all those different opportunities for working in this material world, for doing activities in the material world, he just did not want to do anything at all. He was actually fixed in his determination. My Guru Maharaj was telling me some weeks ago, I was on the phone with him, and he kindly just called me to see how I was doing in Goloka Dham and just inquiring. And after sometimes he said, okay, now I will give you instruction. And when the spiritual master is giving us instruction, it's something very special. It's something we should open our ears very big and be actually very receptive. And he gave me this instruction. He said, don't lose the focus in your life. You might be engaged in so many different services, be doing so many different activities. Just keep very clear in front of you what is your eternal goal. Where are you actually going? And he was mentioning about Sri Vrindavan Dham and the focus on attaining the divine couple service to the divine couple in Vraj Dham. And very often we tend to lose it. We tend to become too much lost in all our activities, in all our dealings with so many other persons. We tend actually to lose the focus, and without this focus it's very difficult to make tangible progress. My Guru Maharaj sometimes give the analogy, or not the analogy actually, he's explaining a story that happened to him when he had back pain. One doctor told him he should row, should go on a boat and do some rowing exercise that will be very good to strengthen his back. So he went on the lake with wonderful Vaishnava Madhva Muni Prabhu, and after some time of rowing, Maharaj saw that Madhva Muni started to get a green face. So Maharaj asked Madhva Muni, what's up to you? Why do you have a green face? And Madhva Muni said, Guru Maharaj, we are just turning in cycle. Because when you are not expert in rowing, most of the time there is one hand that is stronger than the other one, and therefore you turn in cycle. So Maharaj said, oh, I'm sorry. Let's fix a goal. Let's go to the island in the middle of the lake. And then Maharaj was rowing and keeping in line to where actually he wanted to go. So Maharaj sometimes is giving this example in his lecture. And then he's telling the devotees, so many of you have also green faces. So many of you are also turning in cycle in their life. You are not focused in the goal, in where you are going. And in Sanskrit we call that sadhya and sadhana. Sadhya is the goal we want to reach, and sadhana is the process that brings us to that goal. And once again yesterday evening, Maharaj was saying before we started to chant the bhajan that he was giving this analogy of the Pandavas who had this arrow shooting exercise with Dronacharya on the wooden bird on shooting on the eye, and only Arjuna was just seeing only the eye, and then Drona said, now shoot because you are fixed. So yesterday again Maharaj was pointing out this point that it's very important as we are progressing, and especially as we are practicing our own sadhana, as we are doing our own worship, that we actually keep in tune, that we keep clear in mind where do we actually want to go, what is our ultimate goal. Although it's very far away, and although sometimes we feel uncomfortable seeing the goal is so far and I'm just so beginner, we see this big gap between our ideal and between the position where we are. But it's very, very important that we nevertheless look at it so that we get the orientation and that we accept what is our position now, that we don't try to camouflage or to hide this gap between our position and the goal we want to reach. Try to hide this gap by doing so many things, by trying to pretend of being someone better than what we really are, that we just accept the position where we are, but at the same time we don't lose this goal. Ahindra Prabhu will give another analogy on the topic. That's the analogy of a funambule in French, we will say. That's a man who is walking on a string, very tiny string, and he has this balance rod to help him keep the balance. How do we call that in English?
Tightrope walker.
Yeah. So he is giving the example of this tightrope walker, and he's saying that if, as the man is walking, if he's looking at his feet, he will fall. If he's looking right and left, he will fall too. The only chance he has to not fall is to just fix the goal. He's just keeping his glance where he needs to reach. And just by looking at the central point, he just can walk and walk and walk in the string. So Ahindra Prabhu will give also this analogy as important for us to keep really our eyes on the goal we want to reach. So that's a little bit what I can say from the verse of today. If you don't mind, I can go back on the verse of yesterday where I have more notes and more ordered thoughts that I could try to deliver to you. Yesterday's verse, Narada Muni was saying his mother had just been bitten by a snake, and Narada Muni said, I took this as a special mercy of the Lord, who always desire benediction for his devotees. And so thinking, I started for the north. There is a beautiful and short purport I would like to read also. Confidential devotees of the Lord see in every step a benedictory direction of the Lord. And the confidential devotees of the Lord, at every step they do, they see actually the benediction of the Lord. What is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense is accepted as a special mercy of the Lord. Mundane prosperity is a kind of material fever, and by the grace of the Lord, the temperature of this material fever is gradually diminished, and spiritual health is obtained step by step. Mundane people misunderstand it. So this verse is actually very, very special, because now, 5 years Narada Muni just lost his mother. His mother just died. And it seems to be a very terrible thing that happened. When someone close to us die, can you imagine your parents or your friends or just die, how you will feel about it? It's a difficult moment. But Narada Muni actually could see that this was a special mercy, a special favor of the Lord that happened to him. And then he said, "My Lord, the Supreme Lord, he always desires the benediction of his devotees. He's, whatever he's doing is actually doing it for the good, for the benefit of his devotees." And this is a very beautiful nature of the Lord, that the devotees actually want to meditate upon. The devotees want to always remember how Krishna is Dinabandhu, the protector or rescuer of the fallen. How is Bhaktavatsala, the friend of the Bhaktas, of the devotees. This is a quality of the Lord that the Bhaktas or the devotees like very much to speak about and hear about. How was Lord Krishna your friend? How was Lord Krishna taking care of you in your life? When did you feel the Lord was there to personally take care of you? Those are very, very nourishing discussion the devotees like to exchange between each other. There is one example of the Lord's extreme mercifulness and kindness is in the example of Putana, how Lord Krishna actually liberated and gave a very, very auspicious position to Putana, who was actually a demon and was coming to Krishna in the attempt of killing him. So actually Putana received the position of a mother in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. So how can we put the two together? How can we see this demon who was trying to kill Krishna getting such a high position? It's just not possible to comprehend with materialistic standard. And the acharyas explain that in her previous life, Putana was called Ratnamala, and she was the sister of Bali Maharaj. And when she saw Vamanadev coming, she just fell in love. This young Vamanadev was just so beautiful, so cute. And whenever we see something beautiful and cute, we just feel like we want to love. It's lovable. So when she saw Vamanadev, she thought, "He's so beautiful. I want to become his mother. I want to feed him with the milk of my breast." But then when she saw what Vamanadev did to his brother, Bali Maharaj, of taking his whole kingdom and sending him to Patala Loka, she just became very angry and said, "Because of that, I will still feed you with my milk, but I will also feed you with poison." Now the Lord is accepting whatever his devotees are wanted to give. And even at that time, she was not really a devotee, but just because she had this teeny desire to serve or to please the Lord, the Lord, although she decided to become a demon and to kill him, the Lord just accepted this teeny desire to serve and please and purified her from everything else. It just kept intact this tendency or this desire to serve him. And this is the nature of the Lord. Although we might do so many faults, so many aparats, so many mistakes, but the Lord is actually accepting this small, teeny desire that we have to please him. And therefore in Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava is crying out, "How merciful is my Lord? How merciful is he who gave liberation to these she-demons and gave her the position of a mother? Who would not take shelter to such a merciful Lord?" So I just wanted to mention that to bring more weight in this position of Krishna being so kind and being so friendly, and whatever he's doing is for the benefit of his devotees. And what to speak about actually, I have the quote that follows. "Krishna never brings misfortune to anyone, to say nothing of his devotees. He never fails in his affection for his devotees, and thus he is addressed in as infallible. Infallible. Yeah. That's so sometimes we hear about the Lord being never failing, but here the quotation said that actually the Lord never fails in his affectionate dealings with his devotees. He's not only doing everything for their benefit, but this affectionate nature of the Lord, he will never fail on that. So it is said that the mercy of the Lord, actually the lecture is basically based on the mercy principle. This mercy of the Lord has two different natures. Sometimes this mercy is as sweet as a cake, and sometimes the mercy is as bitter as neem tree. But both of this mercy is actually very beneficial for the devotees. And sometimes this bitter mercy, actually in the connection with the verse of today, is to take everything away from the devotees, to take the remaining attachment of the devotees away. So I got two very nice quotes from Srila Prabhupada in morning walks. And the first one, Yadubar Prabhu is asking Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes it is stated that Krishna will take everything away from his devotees. Srila Prabhupada answered, That is his special favor. And Prabhupada laughed. Then Prabhupada speak like in the words of Krishna. This rascal is again attached. Take all his attachments away. That is special favor. That is not ordinary favor. So that when everything is taken away, he will completely surrender to Krishna. Krishna, I have nothing except you. So the very nice quote explaining that Krishna sometimes, his special favor will be that he takes everything away from his devotees. Therefore, he's called Hari, the one who takes away. There was the story of Gandhi once having a quarrel with his wife, and then Gandhi said to his wife, "Now you go. I don't want to see you anymore. You just go out of this house. I don't want to see you. You just go wherever you want, but now it's too much. I don't want to see you anymore." So the wife left the house, and a few hours later she came back and knocked at the door. And Gandhi opened the door and said, I told you you should not come back. And the wife looked at Gandhi and said, "I'm sorry, I have nowhere else to go. You are my only shelter. I have nothing else to do. And Mahatma Gandhi had to say, "Okay, come in." And this is how the devotee sees, and especially when the Lord is taking away our attachments, we should actually allow him to take them away. Not say, no, my Lord, no. We pray for it, and when the Lord comes to take away, we hold it so strong at it. No, we should let it go away, and understanding, my Lord is now bringing me to this only shelter point. He's bringing me to this point where I see there is nothing else in my life that actually counts anymore. That's only this relationship with my Lord. I had some years ago, I had a long break in my service with Sachinandana's family, and I found myself in valleys, painting houses and being very far away from devotee association. And I was writing to a god sister who was secretary of Maharaj at that time. And I say, I don't understand. Maybe I did aparats. Maybe why is now Krishna taking me away from the devotees and from Krishna consciousness? And this Mataji wrote me back, whatever the Lord is doing is to bring us closer to him. Now, the fact that you are away from him, you are actually developing eagerness and longing to be with the devotees. You will appreciate the devotees much, much more. So whatever the Lord is doing sometimes puts us in difficult situation is actually always to help us enlighten this desire to be with the devotees. When we are living all the time with devotees, we think we take it very easy for granted. We don't see how special devotees are. Once a devotee, just some weeks ago, I was in the farm, and one devotee said, "From which country are you?" So I said, "I'm from Switzerland." And he said, "Oh yeah, Switzerland. So many good devotees are in Switzerland." And I said, "That's nothing to do. Good devotees are everywhere. Good devotees have nothing to do with a certain country or a certain type of bodies. Actually, all Vaishnavas are so special." And it's very important for us who lives all the time with Vaishnavas that we learn to value this association and understand how important the association with Vaishnava is. Otherwise, one day we will be crying. One day we will be crying for this association again. Krishna might put us in a situation where we will not have it, and we will understand how important that situation is. So I have another quote that is quite similar, but it's good that it keeps really the point intense for us. One devotee told Srila Prabhupada, "Is it true? Is it true that Krishna will take everything away from a devotee who still has some material attachment?" We can see it, feel the devotee's little anxiety. Will that Krishna do? Should I continue worshipping Krishna, or am I in danger of losing my attachment, my material attachment? Srila Prabhupada answered, "That is Krishna's special favor." Again, the same words than the other quote. "This is not an ordinary favor. When Krishna sees that his devotee is maintaining some material attachment, he says, 'This fool, he wants me.' But at the same time, he wants to stay in this material world. So let me take away all his material possession, that so that he will want only me. This was done to me," Prabhupada said. "I have practical experience. I did not want to take sannyas, the renounced order of life. I thought I will do business. But Krishna forced me to take sannyas, and my business was dismantled." So this is actually a very special favor in the words of Srila Prabhupada, when Krishna is coming and taking away our material attachment. And it's not always easy to accept. It's not always easy to cope with it. Very often we might revolt. Sometimes we see even devotees, but mainly karmic people, when their close relatives who die, they become angry at God. They think God is responsible for the death of their clothes. And sometimes when Krishna is, when we are receiving this bitter mercy, sometimes it takes time to accept it as mercy of the Lord. Because the mercy is coming in a special package. Haribol. Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki Jai, Shishi Gonitaya Ki Jai. Jai Pat Tatva Prabhuji Ki Jai. Welcome. So sometimes the mercy of the Lord is coming in a different package than what we expected. And I have a little story interesting on that level. That was a young teenager of 18 years old who was actually the son of a very rich father. And he asked his father, he just had such a desire to have a brand new black sport car. And he went to his father and said, "Father, please offer me this car." And the father said, "Yeah, let's see how you go out with your notes, your exams, your grades at school. Let's see how you do with that. Let's see how you behave. If you behave properly, then I will give you this car." So the child did really his best at school, had really good notes, was really behaving very nicely to his father and others. And at his 20th birthday, he went to his father and said, "Please look, here are my notes. Look how good I am. Please offer me this car." And the father said, "Okay, let me still think about." And after some time, actually at the day of his birthday, the father offered him a Bible. And the child became very angry at his father. You know what I wanted to have. You are so full of money and you give me a Bible. How can you do that? And he just placed the Bible on the table. And he became so angry at his father that he said, I don't want even to live with such a father. I'm leaving home. I don't want even to hear about him anymore. So he took his distance. He found some work. He just organized his life in a different way. And few years later, he heard that his father had died. And he was just shocked to hear, my God, I took distance from my father, now he just died. So he went back to the house and he started to look in all the things of his father. And suddenly he found the Bible. And when he took the Bible, suddenly a key fell down. A key that was in the middle of the Bible. And on the key there was a little note which was written, fully paid. And that was the key of the car. The mercy of his father was there for the car, but because it was in the package of the Bible, the child just could not accept it and just missed to get the mercy. So sometimes the mercy of the Lord is also coming in a very special type of package, and sometimes we might not be able to take it. We might say, oh, I don't want this type of mercy. But actually, like we were reading before, the Lord is so benevolent and so merciful to his devotees that even though the mercy tastes like neem, it is actually for the most benefit of the devotees. There is also another story that many of you might know, but I can tell it in brief because it makes the point very, very well. It's the story of the king who cut his finger, and the minister told him, this is Krishna's mercy. And the king said, come on, that I cut my finger is the mercy of the Lord. I put you in jail if you are such a wise advisor. So the minister was put in jail, and then the king was so frustrated of his cutted finger, he decided to go and hunt in the forest. So he was in the forest hunting, and he was captured by some tantrics people, brigands, bandits, who caught him and said, we will sacrifice you to the goddess Kali. We will kill you in front of Kali. And the king was, no, now it's the end of my life. And then they saw his finger was cut. And they thought, oh no, he's Muchi. We cannot offer him to goddess Kali. He's cut. We need to free this fellow. And then they free the king, and the king ran back to the kingdom and understood it was actually Krishna's mercy. I cut my finger, otherwise I've lost my life. So he went to free the minister and he said, now I understood everything is Krishna's mercy. But tell me, why, if everything is Krishna's mercy, why did I put you in jail? And the minister said, if I would not have been in jail, I would have come with you hunting. And because you had the cutted finger, they would have killed me instead of you. So it was the mercy of Krishna that I was in jail, so that my life was protected. So this is the way the devotees see life. Devotees see the life that whatever is happening, there is no injustice. There is no mistakes. Everything is actually coming as mercy of the Lord. And the devotees, even in difficult situation, they will use the pain or the difficulty in their life, they will use that as a power, as a stepping stone for moving forward in their spiritual life. Like in judo, the amashal, someone attacks you, you don't fight against, you just take the strength of the person who attacks you and just throw him in the other side. It's not a fight against circumstances, but it's accepting actually the circumstances as favorable and using them for our upliftment, using it for going forward for us. So those difficult moments, this bitter mercy, is there to make us strong. It's there to challenge our faith. When this happens, are we going to chant the holy name? Are we going to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet? Or are we going to follow some many other type of seminars that are supposed to teach us how to manage a good life. Where will we? I mean, I have nothing against those type of seminar, by the way. But where will we take shelter? This is actually the point. When those moments are coming, we are actually taken off illusion. Although we are devotees, although we try to be established in the mode of goodness, but very often the material illusion is on our grip. And one of the strongest illusions is that we are the body. And we can see how much we are under the influence of illusion because it's just so difficult to be identified as pure soul. So that means this grip of illusion is very, very strong, even in the life of the devotees, very, very present. But when this type of mercy is coming, we actually come out of this illusion. We come back in tune with the essence of our life. So whatever is happening, the devotee sees this is actually the best. This is actually whatever I need right now. The devotees never think that there is any misfortune, that there is any things that it is not in order. He sees that Krishna is actually controlling his life. And he sees that whatever happened, even though it sounds or looks painful, he will never complain because he knows that's exactly what I need now to progress. The devotee has full faith that whatever the Lord is sending is exactly what he needs. It's very, very nice. And I would like to end, time is passing, with a little bit on receiving mercy. How should we place ourselves to receive this mercy of the Lord? And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said this is intelligence, that one is able to place himself in life so that he can receive most of the mercy. Because we know the mercy is everywhere present. Gornita's mercy, Jagannath's mercy, the deities are there, the holy name is there, the prasadam is there. Everything is just available for us, but very often we just don't get the access of receiving that mercy. And so how do we place ourselves to receive this mercy? One point is gratitude. When we are grateful for what is given to us, then we access to the mercy. But when you just see everything for granted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, all the time the same mantra, then there's no mercy available. But if we say, my God, this is the name of the Lord, I have the chance now to glorify my Lord, then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the mercy is there. We place ourselves in the situation in which we can receive that mercy through gratitude. Another way to place oneself to receive the mercy is by developing selflessness. And there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam of Chitraketu Maharaj speaking to Lord Krishna. He said, "Oh, unconquerable Lord, although you cannot be conquered by anyone, you are certainly conquered by devotees who have controlled their mind and senses. They can keep you under their control because you are causelessly merciful to the devotees who desire no material profit from you." Means you are causelessly merciful to the devotees who are not asking anything from you but are just serving you. And where is this selflessness coming from? This selflessness comes through sacrifice. We all the time want for our own ego, for our own prestige, for our own position. This is conditioned life. But making sacrifice is that whatever I want for me, actually I will not take it for me, but I will give it to Krishna, or I will give it to the devotees. This is actually sacrifice. This through sacrifice, we actually step into selflessness. And that's actually the another way to place ourselves to receive the mercy, by doing sacrifice. I remember some months ago I was in Golokadam for the Sunday feast, and I gave the lecture, and then it was Ekadashi. After the lecture I thought, let me just go in my room and chant extra rounds. And I was going up the stairs, And I heard inside of me, no, no, you have to preach. You have to be with the guest. You have to do that service. Don't hide now. You have to serve Krishna in that way. I don't want. I was there on the steps. Then I thought, okay. I went down and I look at the temple room. And there was some devotees I had to speak to. I knew them, but I did not have a close relationship. And then I saw them. Then I went to the prasadam table. Can I help serving prasadam? I was trying to avoid my service. And the devotees said, no. You preach to the devotees. We can serve. So I went again. And then I just offered my obeisances, left the temple, went again up the stairs. No, you have to do it. It's your service. I went again down and then I just surrendered and did what I was supposed to do. And in that evening, I had to cook for the deities. I was in the kitchen. And just suddenly, I got so much feelings of separation from Krishna as I was cooking. I could feel something very different. A special type of mercy had been given to me. And then I understood, I pleased the Lord. I did this sacrifice. I did what the Lord wanted me to do. And this is the sacrifice of selflessness. And this is what attracts actually a lot of mercy. When we switch our consciousness, not only what I like to do for Krishna, but what is actually Guru wanting us to do? What is actually Krishna wanting us to do? And then when we fulfill in that direction, then we position ourselves for the blessings of the Lord. And there is the example of Gadadhar Pandit, who was so attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who just wanted all the time to be with Mahaprabhu. And when Mahaprabhu left for Vrindavan, Gadadhar Pandit said, I'm following you. And Mahaprabhu said, you have taken Kshetra Sanyas. You cannot go. You have to stay in Jagannath Puri. And Gadadhar Pandit said, wherever you are is Jagannath Puri. I can go with you. And Mahaprabhu said, but you will break your vows of worshipping for your whole life Tota Gopinath. And I will be responsible. The people will criticize me because you followed me. He said, no, my Lord, I will follow you some distance so that nobody will know that's because of you. So Mahaprabhu saw how determined Gadadhar Pandit was to stay with him. So he allowed him to follow him for some distance. But at a certain point, they had to cross the river. And then Mahaprabhu said, you stay this side of the river. And Gadadhar Pandit again said, no, I'm going with you. And then Mahaprabhu said, do you want to please yourself or do you want to please me? If you want to please me, you please stay. This is my desire. If you want just to think of your own pleasure, then you can follow me. But there will be no blessings. That will break something in our relationship. And then Gadadhar Pandit understood, okay, although my heart will break in separation from my Lord, this is what pleases him. I have to do it. And I think it's very, very important to take that a little bit as a central point in our spiritual life, of really making the good choice in our activities of what is actually really there to please the Lord. And that we go out of our own selfish desires, even in connection to Krishna consciousness, and step into the dimension where the Lord wants us, or the Guru, or the devotees around us want us to do a certain service. Do not try to escape it in the guise of false humility, but whatever the Vaishnavas want us to do, that we actually learn to do the sacrifice, learn to take the step of following that. So for the end, I have just few quotations that are very, very nice. The path of devotion depends completely on the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, one must seek for the mercy. One should beg for it. One should hope for the mercy and pray for the mercy. Heartfelt prayer will draw the attention of Krishna and his devotees. Here again, how much are we praying to get the mercy? How much are we eager to receive the mercy? How much are we confident that the mercy is what will make us go forward? How much are we just depending on our own abilities and our own strengths in worshipping the Lord? Srila Sanatana Goswami explained that one will receive the mercy not only by faith, by having faith in the process, but most of all by humility. When one becomes humble, then this is also a position to receive the mercy. Because as long as we are proud, we just think we can do everything on our own. We just think we can control, we can chant, we can do everything on our own. We are actually not allowing the mercy to enter and to come in us. So the position of humility is also very, very important for receiving this mercy. Last quote, after I promise I stop, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, simply by one's own endeavor, no one in this material world can overcome distraction. Such victory can only come by your merciful blessings, O my Lord. It is impossible for any jiva to overcome inattention by personal effort. By your mercy, however, O Lord, it can be accomplished very easily. Therefore, it is absolutely necessary to beg for your grace with great humility, for this is the only means for salvation. So that was today's lecture, was connected to Narada Muni receiving this great mercy of the death of his mother, which looks terrifying, which looks very, very bad, but was actually very beneficial and very most welcome. And we heard about how the devotees are always seeing whatever is happening in their life as actually a mercy of the Lord. The devotees have faith that whatever is happening is exactly what I need. The devotees understand there is no injustice. Everything is actually totally under the hands of the Lord. And the devotees always like to remember how Krishna is Bhaktavatsala, how he is Dinabandhu, how he is bounded by the affection of his devotees. This is why he is infallible, because he is infallible in his loving relationship with his devotees. This is Krishna's nature that we should actually always remember and never become depressed or become lose enthusiasm or lose strength or faith in devotional life. Everything is just exactly what we need to progress. And if we accept it, then it's become impetus for us to make progress. And if we revolt against this, then we just stagnate and are not able to benefit of the mercy of the Lord. So, enough speaking. Garantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Narada Muni, wonderful journey. Ki Jai. Any questions, any comments? Correction, Prabhu?
This attention, accepting everything as Krishna's mercy and taking the responsibility. There's an example, I think it's from Ramanuja Sampradaya, surrendering to Krishna like a small kitten surrenders to the mother cat, and surrendering to Krishna like a monkey child who cracks on its mother. So how do you respond to that? Like, where personal responsibility comes in and where just dependence comes in? So taking responsibility.
Yeah, it's a good, very good question. I don't know how well I will be able to answer. My Guru Maharaj will give sometimes a small slogan. He will say, do your best and Krishna do the rest. And Krishna will do the rest. And definitely we have our part to do. We cannot just sit here and just wait for the mercy to come. Therefore, there was this point of sacrifice in order to position oneself to receive the mercy. So definitely we need great endeavors. We need to give fully ourselves in what we are doing. But at the same time, It's something that needs to go in parallel. At the same time, one understands that, and it's obvious that we are so imperfect. If we just see how the abilities we have to control our mind during japa, it's just so obvious. We can try our best, but it's just so obvious we are totally helpless. We are just totally dependent on this mercy. So the two should go actually side-tracked. But often we stress a lot our own endeavors, and many, at least if I can speak for my side, in my life I'm not depending so much on the blessings and not so much praying for the blessings and so much begging for receiving this mercy of the Lord. And I think they go sidetracked, and very often the mercy is also coming as a result of our own endeavor and our own sacrifice. So definitely we need to do our best effort in whatever we are doing. But at the same time, it's almost like giving up the fruit. It's almost like becoming totally detached. One do the best we can, and then it's up to Krishna, and then it's in the hands of the Lord to give or to not give the mercy, or to give it in a sweet way or in a bitter way. It's now everything in the hands of the Lord. I don't know if I could answer the question, if it's on the... Yeah?
Question that came to mind, though admittedly it's not deeply philosophical, but more technical, or in terms of my own personal journey, but curiosity arose with the example of Putana and her obtaining the position of a mother, in which sphere of activity was she a mother? And this purport to the Radha Madhava prayers that I had shared, in that Srila Prabhupada describes that one can become like Krishna's mother or Krishna's father. And I was wondering if those particular, like, no one can become Radharani, but some of these other, like, anyone can become Brahma, but no one can become Radharani. With the position of mother and father, how does that...
Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the Damodar Lila also, when there is a description of Mother Yasoda churning yogurt, Srila Prabhupada speaks very boldly and very straightforward on that point. And he said, anyone who wants to love Krishna in motherly affection should meditate on the movements of Yasoda and her dress. And so he's speaking very high topic, like it's a topic of every day. Like everyone who wants to be in this. And then he said, but one should never think that he will become Mother Yasoda or he will become Nanda Maharaj, because this is impersonalism. He's mentioning like this. But one can become a mother. For example, we hear about the mothers, one who give milk to the child is also considered a mother. She did not give birth, but because she gave the milk, she's also considered a mother. And for the father, I guess, just a fatherly affection. The gopas, the friends of Nanda Maharaj, brother of relative of Nanda Maharaj, they have this paternal relationship with Krishna. They see him a little bit like their son. So in that sense, but one never become those personal associate of the Lord.
How about in Vaikuntha? Is there also the maternal and paternal relationship?
I don't think so. Vishvatma Prabhu, do you know? Dasya, huh? I also never heard about any other Rasta. Good, so let's keep the topic in mind for today. How can we position ourselves most to receive this mercy of the Lord and become eager for it, pray for it, beg for it, look how we can position ourselves to get it. Yeah.
Monkeys have been jumping around in my mind ever since you asked the question. you were just about to end. I can actually just stay.
Yeah, now it's too late.
Okay,
now you have to say
that if you observe monkeys, the mother doesn't just blind, you know, like bound forward and just assume that baby monkey is latching on. She'll posture herself, okay, jump on, you know, and then so it's not that it's entirely the effort of the baby monkey. That the mother is very involved in maintaining the monkey to stay latched on, particularly when jumping, you know, and all sorts of the cat kind of runs this way, but the monkey can go any place and kind of requires that you're actively involved in but you can see that it's not just the mother's doing her thing and the baby wants to stay with the mother, has the mother's very attentive to keep the baby on there. And so in keeping with the theme of the it's still the mercy is still present.
Still,
it just requires, perhaps because of the path of that motion, that it still requires a little more participation.
Thank you. Kuvaleshaya is living a lot in India and could actually observe a very detailed how the mother is giving her for the child. Thank you.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sampradaya has lived for over 30,000 since 1,000 years and they couldn't find a solution.
Yeah.
Maybe that might be helpful.
I'll send them an email.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki, Jai.